Yo, Liam, it's your boy Chef Plum.
I don't know who you
what?
Are.
We had somebody call out, so your daughter has to close tonight.
I don't know what you want.
Oh, your daughter has to close tonight.
If you are looking for a ransom,
what?
I can tell you I don't have money.
What? Dude.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Yeah, I know.
Skills I have acquired over a very long
career. You smoking funny cigarettes again?
Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
What are you, a health inspector?
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it.
Oh, your daughter has to close tonight.
I will not look for you. I will not pursue you.
What?
But if you don't...
Bro, she has to close...
I will look for you. I will find you.
You know where I am.
And I will kill you.
Bro, why are you always tripping? Everyone has to close sometimes. I just want to let you know that Plumber Foods is live on Thursdays on Spreaker. Damn!
Of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plumber Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, got a little excited with the fader there, Jeffy. Yeah. What's going on, brother? How are you? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. This is your boy, Chef Plum. Chef Jeff. Jeffy, you with me?
Yeah.
You are with me. Your microphone volume's a little low, but that's all right. I can yell loud enough for the both of us. Because let me tell you something right now that's happening with Plum Love Foods Live. It's spreading across the nation. This podcast is spreading faster than coronavirus in Asia. That's what's happening right now. This may not be in the States, but let me tell you something, Plum Love Foods is, and that's why it's not here. Me and Jeffy, Dave, Rob, Dan, you know what we're doing? We're fighting the coronavirus. That's what we're doing. By listening to this show, you are guaranteed to not get the coronavirus, Jeffy. That's a promise from me to you, the listener, everybody. Because you know what? You may not like it, but you are going to learn to love it. Tell them, Jeffy.
Love it, baby.
I mean, I don't know if we actually fight coronavirus or not, but we're going to try.
I will try my hardest with vitamin C and prayer.
And a prayer. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. We're excited to be with you guys here on a Thursday night. I am pressing all the wrong music because all my stuff's out of order. That's okay. I'm going to fix that. But, yeah, we're happy to be here with you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. Currently, we are not live, Jeffy. We're not live. I don't like to lie to people, you know. I want to be honest with them.
Pulled the veil back. Nope, we're not live.
We're not live. This is a pre-recorded episode because we are shooting the finale of Elite Chef tonight. And I'm not sure what happened because I can't tell the future. But what I can tell you was it was awesome. I promise you.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to drink beer.
What? You were telling the future, Jeffy. You were telling the future.
I think we may have a beer together.
What?
That's what I'm seeing. It's fuzzy. It's fuzzy.
Man, let me tell you what. Our guest tonight was actually hanging out with us at the finale, and she was one of our judges on the show. Did a fantastic job. Actually changed my whole entire look of people and what she does. Miss Connecticut, Julian Duffy, is on the program with us tonight. Jeffy, how great was she on the show?
Julian's a lady. She is awesome. I had so much fun judging with her. I had so much fun hanging out, and I had so much fun with her on the show. She's through and through a role model for young women, and just an awesome chick, man.
Yo, no doubt about it. 100% on the role model.
Awesome
thing.
Human.
Yeah, I mean, she's been through so much, and I can't wait for you to hear the interview with her. But she's been through so much at her, you know, very young age. She's 23, right?
23 and wise beyond her years, and she speaks with such, confidence, right? You know, she looks you right in the eye.
Yeah.
She's talking to you. She's hanging out with us. She's hanging out with us two big loud monkeys on a shoot and holding her own without missing a step. And man, super fun.
Changed my entire view of people who do the competitions that she does. I mean, she came in fifth place for Miss America. That's crazy.
Absolutely. And I like that you called it a competition. I think that's great because a lot of people say pageant, and I think that that's kind of a like a archaic word for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I like how she's, you know, you'll hear her, and she's an advocate for a lot of things to change the way that that whole thing is done. But, you know, I think that the whole, I mean, competition is what I'm talking about. But I think one of the things that really struck me the most is that you'll see when she talks that the Miss America organization provides more scholarships for women than any other organization in America. And that's awesome.
It's amazing.
Got to educate the women. I love it.
Yeah, educate the women and be positive role models, you know, yeah. And that's what I really like. I like how, you know, hearing about all the amazing stuff she does in the community for Connecticut. Cool. I didn't realize that she did all that stuff. I didn't realize that she was out there, like.
And she's doing all of it, right?
Advocating for dogs and, you know, I mean, all this crazy stuff. It's just really cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So that's a great interview tonight, and I'm excited for you guys to hear it. And listen, yeah, we touch on a couple food things. We talk about when she's in competitions and how she trains for that. But, you know, for us, it was more about bringing a person. Yeah, I want to give a person like her a platform, number one, because she's such an inspiring human being. But two, I think it's cool for people in our profession who check out this program to hear some different voices sometimes, to hear someone from different avenues, different walks of life who still haven't struggled, like a lot of us have in this business. Listen, there's no doubt about it. A lot of us in this industry are, you know, been successful. We're doing things, but that shit came with a lot of hard work, repetition, and heart.
Absolutely.
And I think that you'll learn with Jillian's story, it's very, very similar to a lot of culinarians and chefs you might know in the world.
Yeah, she put her nose down. She stuck with a lot of stuff. She didn't get told no, and she pushed hard to get where she was. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So looking forward to talking to Jillian a little bit, honestly. And you guys can hear it all about that. I can't wait for you to hear the interview. We do, you know, I think we did about an hour with her, right? 45 minutes, an hour, something like that. It's a pretty good interview.
It's an amazing interview. I think you're going to be super surprised at what a multifaceted, cool person that Jillian Duffy is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, just inspiring all the way around. What else is great, Jeff, is Elite Chef. I mean, how much fun has this program been? We got one episode left. We're going to do a round table with everybody, I think.
I'm so sad, honestly, man. I'm sad.
Are you?
I'm sad it's over. Yeah, wow. Man. It's like it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I think my wife wants to be over because she wants me to be home more, but I think and I like being with the family too, but I really liked being with all the chefs, and I really liked being part of this, and like, you know, being on a set and working with all the awesome people at Mac Media and the people at Little Bird and all the awesome people at Eli's Restaurant Group have been like, just I mean, every chef, every server, every bartender has been bent over backwards for us and just made us feel so comfortable while we shot, and I just, you know, what a fucking cool experience, man. Thanks, Plum.
Oh, dude, you did a fantastic job. Don't thank me. You crushed it.
Yeah, well, whatever. I had a lot of fun, too, so.
Yeah, you did a great job. You kind of became a – people like you. Every time I talk, they're like, we really like Jeff. He does a really great job on the show. And I'm like, Jeff always does a great job. And they're like, yeah, but he's really good at judging the food and articulating it. He's very articulate. And I said, you don't know that Jeffy's articulate? They're like, no, the only time we've seen him is when he's drinking at Mohegan Sun. I'm like, okay, fair enough. That's fair.
They hear me stuttering on this show.
It's gotten better.
No, my wife points it out all the time. She'll be like, hey, listen to this part. You said and four times in a row. Were you trying to think of something, or is that a stutter?
He's like, yeah, I'm just trying to get through and get something out there for everybody. Well, it's hard, man. Listen, when I first started doing this program fucking in 2014 – I did it, and I'd go back and listen to myself, and I was like, God, I sound like such a jackass. But, you know, you have to listen to yourself. You have to watch yourself. When people say they don't watch themselves, who work in the industry or work in this type of industry and don't listen to themselves, it bothers me because, you know, it's a tool to get better with. I mean, it's once you get past, I mean, it doesn't bother me now, but it definitely bothered me for a long time. I couldn't listen to myself or watch myself on TV, but you have to. That's how you get better. You know, when I was working with the Hallmark Channel, and they told me I had crutch words. I was like, what is that? And they said, go back and watch yourself. And I was like,
you taught me that.
Wow. I mean, dude.
You taught me that. It's the hardest thing to watch because I say the same things over and over. And I know I say them is the worst part. It's fucking painful.
Well, it's tough. But you have to push through it because crutch words and, you know, this industry don't work together. Go back and listen to the interview we did with Anna Zapp and see how many times she said the same word over and over again. She doesn't.
No way. She's a pro, though. She's
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's professional. These people who do it for a living, you can hear it in their voice when they talk. I mean, they don't repeat themselves.
She's another awesome person. I really enjoyed being – I mean, another – you know, the cool thing and the cool thing of this connection with Jillian is, like, the food connection. She's a foodie. She was a judge on the show. Then she comes on the podcast. It's like, again, food brings us all back together. You know, it's like
– it's a powerful thing.
It's really
powerful
getting
thing.
All mushy.
That's all right. Listen, I do it at the end of every fucking episode of this program. It's a very, very powerful thing, and I mean it. You know, it's very powerful, and it can bring people together, and it can cause emotions, and it can make you stronger. It can. It's a very, very powerful thing. So 100%, I agree. And I think that you can see it. We're 240 episodes into this show. I mean, we're going to be pushing 300 here by the summertime probably. XFL debuted this past weekend, Jeffy. Did you watch it?
No, but you told me about it. The Guardians, right? Is that
New York Guardians. Boy, that's my new team, Jeffy, the New York Guardians.
Yo, I like the G-Men already, so it's cool to switch to the NYGs for the XFL, and then I have the NFL, my NY Giants. So,
yeah, I'm telling you, it's I watched all four games this weekend, off and on, while I was doing things around the house.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch. I tell you what, people were kind of hating on it, but then all the ratings came out, and holy shit. Guess what got almost better ratings than the fucking Oscars? The XFL.
Really?
Yep.
Oscars. Well, the Oscars suck balls. Let's
Oscars
be honest.
Lowest rated show ever for the Oscars this year.
Because no one wants to watch anyone.
Nope.
It's just painful. I'm sorry, people in the Oscars. I don't mean to shit on you in the industry. Actors, you do a great job. I love movies.
Yeah.
But the shows where you guys talk to each other and give speeches is like... it's like going to every funeral I've ever been to.
That's very true. Wait, what about? I love the Ricky Gervais of the Golden Globes, and he was like, he was like, "Don't make a political speech. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Just accept your award, wave to the crowd, and fucking go off the stage." I was like, "This is brilliant. I love it." And I wish more people would just
fucking genius. Did you see people just slack jawed staring?
Oh, Tom Hanks's face. Oh, it was the best.
It was amazing. That was amazing. Way to disarm so many people who were going to go out there and fucking soapbox about whatever fucking whale they want to save.
Well, the Oscars this year didn't have a host. Do you think that what Ricky Gervais did played a role in that?
I hope so.
I mean, here's the thing. Do the awards, it's fine, but stop acting like people watch it on TV and care about it, because we don't. It's proven you don't.
Down your throat. I mean, the whole thing, it's like the whole thing with the movie industry in general is insane. It's like who gets money to shoot movies and who has – I mean, how does that work?
You got money to make a TV show.
Thank Jesus. But that was from the Lord himself and Eli's Restaurant Group, who I think was driven by the Lord's divine hand.
Well, let me ask you a real question, though, before we're going to head to break here in a minute and get to Jillian. But I've got a real question for you, though, Jeffy. Do you think the reason we don't like the Oscars now is because of the world that we live in now, where everyone wants to be an influencer, everybody wants to be famous, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Instagram, whether it's YouTube, like... you can look at some of these YouTube channels, and they get more viewers than most TV channels get, or most, some YouTube videos get more viewership than movies get. Like, is that what it is? Because you think back in the 80s and stuff, dude, the Oscars were a big deal. I remember watching them for the performances and all that sort of stuff. But now,
think about the performances and all the cool shit that was going on at the Oscars back then compared to what it is like now.
But is it like that now because everyone doesn't want to watch it because they just get angry? They're like, why are we watching this? Like, I don't know. There's so many movies that were Oscar movies that I didn't even fucking see. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think with the internet comes a lot of veil lifting. And I think once you see behind the veil and a lot of this stuff and you know what goes into it all, and you know, there's a dirtier side to Hollywood and they don't talk about it, but it's right in front of us all now.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? No, you're right. You're right. But I really think is it partly to do with the fact that, I watch, my kids definitely know more about TikTok than what movies are in a movie theater. Like, they don't give a shit about that anymore. Nobody cares about that.
Well, yeah, not as much. I mean, I think they do care about movies. Like, they care. Like, they want to go see a movie. But the other thing is it's like the amount of content that comes out every week and year is mind-bending. I mean, the amount of content that these kids have at their fingertips at, like, kids' YouTube or whatever.
Listen to the stat I heard this week. This is crazy. Did you know there's more content that comes out now in an hour? More content is now published in an hour on the internet than all the content that was ever published before, like, 2005.
Oh, my gosh.
So we get more stuff published now, more content out there now, than all the content combined that ever went out and went public in, like, 2005, 2004, and on down to, like, 1920.
Yeah, it's like...
it's crazy.
Think of the connectiveness we have and what we use it for.
So people say all the time now, listen, this is a great question. We got to get Miss Metaverse on here soon because I want to ask her about this. Listen, we'll do a roundtable with her and, like, somebody else. We'll get, like, a Jesus freak or something. I don't know who. But
maybe we should get our good brother John on. John Grazzo from the Homeland.
Oh, that's not a bad idea, too. Listen, here's what I'm saying, though. We all talk about our phones and kids being on the phones and, oh, my God, they're not talking to real people. That's true, but are we more connected now to people than we've ever been because of that?
Well, we're more connected, but we're also separated, too, because I feel like real connection, like, I think a lot of people, it's very easy to make a connection on the internet. But I think to have any, like, it's a lot harder to go up and just, like, talk to a person, you know, for a lot of people, I should say. A lot of the younger generation, I think they find it harder to have, like, like one-on-one interaction.
We're changing the world in this conversation, Jeffy. That's what we're doing.
We're trying, you know.
Right. We're solving the world's problems. Tonight, Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Jeff, Chef Plum. We are hanging out with Miss Connecticut, Jillian Duffy. Fourth runner-up for Miss America. She's fantastic. Can't wait for you guys to hear her story. She's amazing. I hope you like her. We're going to play a quick commercial break, and when we come back, Jeffy and I are going to be joined with a little bit of class on this program. Jeffy, we get some class on it this week. Miss Connecticut, Jillian Duffy, will be joining us when we come right back. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, we'll see you guys in a second. Hang tight.
Peace.
Jackfruit, Jeffy. It's honestly the best vegan food I've ever had.
No doubt. We learned all about it on our trip in Mexico this year.
Hey, it's Chef Plum and Chef Jeff from Plum Love Foods Live talking Upton's Naturals.
Upton's Naturals is an independently owned natural foods company with a focus on meat alternatives and vegan values since opening in 2006.
Hey, that's right. Now Upton's has launched the first-to-market seasoned, ready-to-eat jackfruit in the whole United States.
With great flavors like Thai curry, original, sweet and smoky, sriracha, chili lime, barbecue. Man, I am getting hungry.
Well, you haven't eaten in 12 minutes, so that makes sense. Try it, man. This stuff is great. Amazing tacos, sandwiches, you name it.
I'm still hungry.
Yeah, me too now.
Upton Naturals, available now on Amazon.com, ThriveMarket.com, RabbitFood.com, and more.
And of course, check out UptonsNaturals.com. Let's get some tacos.
I love tacos.
Me too.
Wait, Mob.
Hi, I'm Jocko Golden, award-winning chef, celebrity janitor, and creator of the Weight Mop.
Weight Mop?
What is a weight mop? Well, a weight mop is your standard mop.
Weight Mop.
Reimagined and revolutionarily designed by yours truly to keep your house clean and your body mean.
Weight Mop.
With our patented sliding three-plate system, coming in three sizes, 4, 8, and 147, they're stackable and interchangeable, so you can get that workout in regardless of your fitness level.
Weight Mop.
It's simple to use. Just lock in the plate and mop yourself back to sexy.
Chef Hans here. So tired of curling down in your dish pit? Huh, by Weight Mop. And voila, now you have strong girly man.
Weight Mop.
Hey, how you doing? Jimmy Capello here. My wife was complaining she never got time for the gym. I saw the Weight Mop, I thought two birds with one stone, right? Hey, and now she looks out of this world.
Weight Mop.
Yeah, my husband got this really heavy mop. What's the celebrity janitor?
Weight Mop.
Weight Mop.
Cause you got a weak shoulder.
Weight Mop.
Cause you need to feel bolder.
Weight Mop.
Jocko's creation.
Weight Mop.
Mop across the nation.
Weight Mop.
We're against segregation.
Weight Mop.
Call now. 1-800-WEIGHT-MOP. That's 1-800-WAITMOP.
A Sizzle Plate product.
Plum Love Foods live right here on a Thursday. Jeffy, I feel fancy for our guest tonight, don't you?
Of course I do. I always feel fancy on a Thursday.
Here's the thing. You don't have the energy of a man who feels fancy right now. That's what I don't like.
Daddy, my energy is smooth and silky, like a very fancy man.
You have to make it weird. Why'd you make it weird? Like, we were having a great conversation.
Jacket. I have my marble pipe out. Handcrafted Venetian marble.
All right. Well, I don't know what Venetian marble is, but I'm glad you have that. When I started the show,
just for the smell.
Listen, when I started this, when I started this program back in 2014, if you told me some of the guests that we'd have on, I wouldn't believe you. Everyone from Guy Fieri to Chad Minton to, we've had Emmy winners, we've had Oscar winners, we've had big name musicians, but. To top it all off, you told me that we would have Miss Connecticut on the program. And not only would she be on the program, but she would be a friend of mine and be one of the coolest people I think I've met recently. That's for sure. I wouldn't believe you. Our guest tonight is Miss Connecticut, Jillian Duffy. She was a guest on our program, Elite Chef, and did a fantastic job. But more importantly, she is an amazing person. Her story really, really struck me as we talked when we were there shooting that day. And I can't wait to share some of that story with you guys tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the fantastic, the nice, the friendly, the funny, the hell of a steak eater, our friend, Miss Connecticut, Jillian Duffy. Hey, Jill, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
We are doing fantastic as we sit here on a wonderful evening as we relax and get ready for the big finale of the episode of the show to come out very, very soon.
Oh, very exciting. I can't wait.
Listen, when we got you to be the guest judge on our episode of Elite Chef, and I realized it was going to be steak day, I was like, there is no way that she's going to eat steak in front of people on camera. And not only did you eat steak, you housed steak. Like, you were going to town. It was impressive.
Oh, yeah, of course. I love me some steak.
But you did.
Especially when it was prepared by some amazing chefs around Connecticut. I mean, how could you not?
I mean, they did a great job, didn't they?
They did a fantastic job. I said I would go back and do it every week if I could.
That's amazing. Hey, listen, the big announcement that no one knows yet is we just got asked to do season 2 of the show, so you might get asked back.
Oh, my goodness. That's so awesome. Some congratulations.
I know. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. We're very, very excited.
That is so cool.
Well, you know, what's great about it.
You guys should be so proud.
We are. What's great about it, though, is it's local branded content that we're doing that has cumulatively already gotten over 150,000 views. Like, that's hard to forget, you know?
That's so amazing. We love local support, local love.
That's right.
All about loving Connecticut, right? Supporting each other.
Jeff lives in Southampton, and he's been talking about moving up here, actually. How about that? That's crazy. You can move from the Hamptons to Connecticut.
Okay. Make the move. Come on,
I got a nutmeg heart. I got a Southampton zip code, but a nutmeg heart.
There you go. That sounds like a bad country song. I don't know if I could even sing it.
But I'm working on it right now.
Are you? At the moment. But just, you did such a great job judging for us. We appreciate it. And do you get to do stuff like that very often, or is that kind of a first for you?
No, that was the first of anything like that I've done. I've gone to home shows and, you know, you snack on little things here and there, but nothing like that. That was the first of an experience like that for me. But this year's Miss Connecticut has just been a whole year of firsts. I've been able to judge talent shows and work with, you know, dog adoption agencies. I've been able to go into the children's hospital and work with the patients. So this organization has really opened my eyes, not only for this year and the opportunities I've had, but for the opportunities that I have for my future as well.
Such a good talker, too. I love good talkers. You know,
thank you.
I do. I think because talking like that is a difficult thing to do. And if you're not good at it, I mean, it's like a glaringly obvious thing. I mean, have you always been such a good speaker or no?
Oh, goodness, not always. So I've been doing this for a really, really long time. I started when I was 8 years old. I was always a dancer, so I was used to performing on stage. But, yeah, my parents just wanted me to be able to speak to people. I always loved to, in the grocery store, I was always complimenting people, telling them I liked their hair and their outfit. So I think my parents always knew I was going to be talkative and outgoing. But I've really been able to, you know, come up with, you know, my own opinions and kind of have a really level head and, you know, be really educated at 23 years old to make, you know, the best decisions for myself and my future.
It does kind of make you grow up quick, I think, when you get into the, I mean, is the word pageant, do we still say pageant, or is that bad?
I mean, some people do. I mean, we call it a competition now more because we are moving away from the beauty side of things. Right. But to me, we have been a competition all along. I've been involved, as I said, since the age of 8. And although there have been changes, you know, we took out the swimsuit and whatever else, it's always been a scholarship organization. They've always provided scholarship opportunities, job opportunities to these women, and they're preparing great women for the world. And it's never been a pageant. It's never been a beauty contest to me. And so for me, I call it a competition. I call it a pageant. The word, honestly, can be interchangeable because Miss America, who she is and what the organization is promoting is the same.
You know, it's funny because with the way the whole world is changing when it comes to how we refer to things and how we talk about things. I mean, like even just then, Jeff, I wasn't sure what to call it. Like I really didn't. I was coming from a complimentary standpoint, meaning like you've done this for so long. It's almost like you focus so much of your time on it that, I mean, you kind of had to grow up a little fast when it came to doing this sort of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely had to grow up, but I think that it's, you know, made me open my eyes, and I've been, you know, I'm so confident in my abilities to just be able to, you know, just walk into somewhere and be able to introduce myself and have eye contact and just little things like that. Even at the beginning of the year, I used to ask my parents to come with me to events, you know, to, you know, introduce myself and get started. But now I'll go to events all around the state and be comfortable in my skin to be able to talk about the organization and myself. And I definitely see so much growth in myself, but it's been tough, but it's definitely worth it.
I mean, dude, you rolled up to the shoot for Elite Chef by yourself. Like, you didn't have anybody with you. You rolled up. You were calling me like, oh, I'm running a little bit late, but I'll be there. Don't worry. You rolled right up like it was nothing. You made friends immediately. Like, that's not easy, man. I mean, that's something that I think everybody could learn from. Like, sometimes just take it with a grain of salt. Everything is fine. Nothing's that big of a deal.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, even as you said, right, I texted you. I told you I was running late. And normally last year, if I were running late, I would have probably freaked out and worried about it. But it's a very, very busy schedule, but I have all these opportunities. So you just try to stay positive, try to keep moving, and, you know, keep your head up.
Yeah, and I was like, no worries. We'll see you when you get here. I guess it's fine.
Right, right. But just learning how to, you know, be able to, I mean, even just like prioritizing, being able to schedule things and balance, you know, being Miss Connecticut, this is all I do. I don't go to school right now, but I do have a job. So I balance being Miss Connecticut, but also have to balance my friends and my family and just make sure that all around I'm still fulfilling my role as Jillian Duffy, because I've learned this year that I can't be the best Miss Connecticut that I can be without being the best Jillian I can first.
Wow. I mean, that sounds such a great thing to say. But when you think about it, Jeff, like how that was, I mean, it's pretty important.
No, it's absolutely important. You know, I think the what you're saying about, you know, being able to talk to people and look people in the eye is something that's really being lost on our youth today. And I think it's super important that you're talking about that. Like, it's like, you know, to be able to go up to someone and just like you said, give them a compliment in the grocery store and start a conversation. It's just so hard. And I don't want to like point the finger at technology, but it's the thing that we have that we didn't have when we were kids. And I feel like it pulls people out of the world that we're living in. That's really important, like making actual connections, like talking to people, and like, you know, I don't know, I find the whole thing really cool.
Yeah, I think it's just a change in the world, man, and having role models such as yourself, and like it or not, you're a role model. It's just the way it goes.
Jillian, for sure.
Yeah, well, no, not you. I'm kidding, Jeff. You're a great role model. You're my role model.
Well, I mean, I try to help you dress.
That's true. That's very, very true. Jeffy Jillian is the only person I've seen who can pull off a cardigan at 10 a.m. with a champagne. Oh, are you getting packages in the mail?
Thank you. You're welcome. I'm getting my Uber Eats. Sorry.
I was like, FedEx showed up. Let's talk to him. That's great.
Yeah, you know, I wish I had some Elite Chef breakfast over here, but that's not how it works, you know.
So how long do you have the title of Miss Connecticut?
Oh, don't remind me. I'm counting down the days. I only have 116 days left.
That's a lot.
So only until the beginning of June.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then what? Does like the superpowers go away? Like you fade off in the sunset?
Yeah, unfortunately. No, I get to keep the crown and the sash, which a lot of people ask me. I get to keep that. But yeah, so we will have our annual Miss Connecticut competition, and we will crown a new Miss Connecticut, and then she will go around for the next year. But like I said, I'm enrolling back in school, so I'll be going back to school and work and kind of just seeing where everything takes off from there.
Now, I think what's pretty cool about what you do is how much you do embrace that kind of going around and talking to people and being Miss Connecticut. Like, you really do truly embrace that. It's not just a title to you.
No, I just love the organization and just, like you said, being able to make an impact in so many different communities. And as I said, I competed for 5 years for the Miss title. And then before that, I competed 2 years for the teen title. So I've been able to represent so many different communities and really build relationships.
So the one thing I think is pretty cool, too, to talk about you is that you came in, I mean, you were, what, fifth place for Miss America, or was it fourth place?
I was fourth runner-up, yes.
Fourth runner-up. Wait, so that's confusing.
Yes.
Fifth place. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So it was out of 51 candidates. And then historically, our Miss Connecticut has only made it in 3 times. So I'm one of only 3. So that's really a really cool accomplishment. And I feel so blessed, honestly blessed.
And you can't compete in that again, right?
No, that is a once in a lifetime, one shot and you're done. Wow. So, yeah.
Well, a lot of former Miss Connecticuts that I've known end up moving on to working in the TV world or working in the news world. Is that something you've thought about doing?
I hadn't before you kind of planted that seed in my brain, actually. I was talking to my parents the other day. No, seriously, about continuing school and doing broadcast journalism.
You should.
So, absolutely. Yeah. You encouraged me to do that, and that's the plan.
Well, you're such a good talker. That's why I think you'd be great at it. You're very well spoken. You're a great talker. I think you'd be fantastic at doing that. And not only that, you're cool. Some of these people are not cool. They're just freaking robots, Jill. It's embarrassing.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to switch into broadcast journalism my sophomore year, and then I just figured I'd get my degree in what I started in, and then go back if I wanted to.
Sure.
So. Well, yeah. Probably should have just switched back then, but hey.
You can switch whenever you want. Trust me, no one's going to care.
I'm only 23. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
Me too. Jeff.
You have your whole life ahead of you.
Me too.
My God.
Yeah, I mean, jeez, I can't. I mean, listen, 25 is worrying me when I turn 25, but for right now, 23 is fine. Jeff, let's throw some plugs out there for Jill.
Absolutely. If you're going to follow Jill on Instagram, you're going to check her at Miss America CT, and then on Facebook, it's Jillian Duffy. Give her a follow, give her some likes, give her some love, see what she's up to. It's definitely inspiring and always good.
So speaking of inspiring, you know, you and I were sitting talking as we were resetting some stuff on the show, and you were telling me your story a little bit. And as a father, I have 3 daughters. I think I told you that, right?
Yes.
I have 3 daughters. And just hearing your story was so, like, just pulling at heartstrings. Like, I couldn't imagine not only what you had gone through, but what your parents had to go through as, you know, as being parents, just being a part of that. But, I mean, your story, you know, for your journey this far, especially being only 23, man, it's pretty heart-wrenching. Can you touch on that a little bit? Just I'm not giving it away on purpose. So I want you to tell the story.
Yes, of course. So in November of 2010, when I was 13 years old, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And that type of leukemia is found within kids from 4 to 7 years old. So right from the get-go, we were kind of coming up with roadmaps, and we were really relying on clinical trials. And my treatment was quite literally week to week, where we would have a chart that had, you know, Monday through Friday. And then on Fridays, I would get a spinal tap where they would see how many cancer cells my body was making, and then we would modify the schedule for the next week. And so I underwent 2.5 years of chemotherapy treatment. And then during my chemotherapy treatment, I suffered a stroke, that has caused me to have learning disabilities now, and I do have a memory disability now. Also, the way that my chemo was administered was through my spine, so it kind of just hung around in my brain fluid. However, I was able to graduate high school on time, and I've been able to advocate for myself in college thus far. And so it really hasn't stopped me, but it's really shown me that whatever is put in my way, I already beat cancer. I beat the hardest thing that God could have thrown at me at 13 years old. And so now whatever is placed Amen. In my life from now on, I know that I can handle it without a doubt.
I mean, she's telling me this story, Jeff, as we're resetting for the show. And I'm literally trying. I'm like, I just met this woman. I don't want to sit here and break down crying in front of her. But literally it was fighting back everything not to, because what an amazing story. I just can't imagine. Like,
super inspiring. It's super inspiring. The fact that you overcame all that and won a competition and are able to like talk to everyone and look everyone in the eye, and you have like, you're so confident, you know, like that's one thing that about you. When I met you at first, I was like blown away at, I mean, you're Miss Connecticut, you should be confident. But when you were telling me the story, I was like blown away at like how none of that seemed to have taken you out. You know, it only just made you so much stronger. And I admire you so much for it. It's really awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot. And I, at 23 years old, I think that I've learned like some of the most amazing life lessons. I mean, I know, and I feel so thankful that at 13 years old, I knew that it wasn't all about the hair and the makeup. And I did learn it the hard way because I didn't have hair. Yeah. But it was something that I learned, right? But it was something that I learned.
Wait,
very,
hang on,
very
Jeff.
Young.
Jeff, you can't laugh at that.
No, well, like, I laughed joke. At it, it because funny. I really, I couldn't, I learned to not be bothered by it. And, you know, when I was, you know, walking through high school, they used to call me Bald Eagle. Like, that was my nickname in high school. That's what, you know, you needed to call my attention. But I was cool with it because, you know what, you calling me Bald Eagle, that you're not breaking me down, you're not hurting me in any way. If that makes you feel better, if you think that's funny and you get a giggle from your friends, cool for you. That's, you know,
that's awful. Yeah. It makes me so mad now. I want to go find those kids that called you that.
It makes you mad, but then at the same time, you know, I went home and I told my dad, and my dad said to me, Jill, you know, these seniors are calling you Bald Eagle. Like, think about that. What you've gone through in your life, they don't know what you're going through, and they're going to do something like that. Like, how pathetic of people are they? And, you know, it's true. I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, as a father, I'm telling you, your father's heart, while he said the right thing and was building you up, he was breaking inside like, oh, these jackasses. I want to
go. Oh, absolutely.
School.
He's probably like, what are their names? What do they look?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
No, oh, yeah. I'm a huge daddy's girl. My dad is my best friend. But, that's, yeah, awesome. He's also taught me to be a pretty tough cookie.
That's great.
I mean, literally, you talked about having to get those injections in your spine and having to do, I mean, just how many times can they do that? Like, you got to eventually run out of space, don't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would get those, every single week. So every Friday we would go in and get them. So they would place it in between, I believe it was your 23rd and 24th vertebrae.
Jesus.
So when I went in for treatment, I would literally bring a liter bottle of Mountain Dew with me, because right in your vertebrae in that area is where, I guess, if you hit it the wrong way, you can cause migraines. So I would bring a liter of Mountain Dew, because that's the most caffeinated drink, even more than coffee and tea.
Yeah.
So I'd bring my huge bottle, drink that, and then, you know, you go into not a full sedation. They call it like a twilight zone. And you have to – I had to first wait to make sure that my counts were high enough. If my counts were too low, I couldn't get chemo that week. And then I had to wait for my blood to come back, and I'd go into the room and lay down, and they'd do the spinal tap. And then, you know, it was like an hour-ish. I woke up, and I would have a little bit of back pain, but the best part was that when I was driving home, that my parents let me pick anything I wanted to eat from Hartford to Burlington. So that was, you know, a positive spin on Friday day,
right.
Friday treatments. So.
Man.
Absolutely.
I would buy you whatever you wanted if you were my kid.
Right. I mean,
sounds like you earned it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We tried, my family did a really great job making it not such a horrible experience. Even, you know, my dad would wake up, like I said, on the days that I would get treatment, they would have to check my counts beforehand, my blood counts, to make sure that I could get the chemo. And I wouldn't be able to eat for 6 hours before my surgery. So my dad would wake up at, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning and make me a full breakfast, like pancakes, bacon, poached eggs, everything, we would eat, and then we would go back to bed until it was time to wake up and go to treatment. And it's just, you know, those days were so long, and I knew I was getting up to go to chemo, but at the same time, I knew that I got to wake up at 2 a.m. and have really a really great breakfast with my dad. So it was just all about kind of trying to make it positive. But then as I said, I've been able to, now in my life, I do that with every single situation. I look at the positive part of it.
Please tell your dad that as a father, I said that he is an inspiring person and he's the man. He's who I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. He really is.
But you have to tell him I said that, though, because I'm serious.
I will.
As a father, hearing that, just the guy was, that's an incredible story. I love that story. Yeah. But then you take all of that and somehow you make it through high school, you begin competing, and now you're Miss Connecticut.
I mean,
that's really giving the finger to the rest of the world at that point. I mean, literally,
right?
Just, fate is bullshit. Here we go, you know? I mean, that's incredible. When it comes to food for you, Jillian, are you picky?
No, I'm not a picky eater at all.
Is there things that are your favorites or things that you won't? How about this? Let's start with this. Are there things you won't eat at all?
The things I won't eat? Well, right now there's only one thing that I won't eat, and that's avocado.
What?
No, that's just because when I went on vacation this summer, it was bad.
You had a bad avocado and it ruined it all
for
you? We
had a bad avocado that ruined it for me. So I'm trying back with that, but I love spicy foods. I'm a big spicy food girl, which is different than my whole family. So I don't get to really enjoy that a lot. But, you know, I bring my own little bottle of Tabasco and try to have the best time I can, ordering my jalapenos on the side and whatnot.
There you go. You know, I think we should talk to the Miss Connecticut people who make the competition and see if we can get a food competition in there. Can we make that happen?
Oh, I think so. Yes. I'm so ready for it.
Love it. Let's do this.
I think that'd be really important to do. No doubt about it. We should get it in there.
I think so.
What do you think's been the most important thing that you do as Miss Connecticut? What do you think is the most important part of the job?
I think just honestly sharing my story and showing kids that they can do anything. And I mean, it started in the hospitals, you know, being able to show kids, you know, pictures of me as a patient, because I was a patient only 9 years ago. And so I still have pictures, and some of the, you know, same people are still around. Some of the same volunteers and therapy dogs are still around from when I was in treatment. And so I have such a special connection with the patients. But then to be able to go into schools and teach about perseverance, and, you know, I competed for the title of Miss Connecticut 5 times before I won. And then when I did win, I went to Miss America and placed in the top 5. And so there were many times that I wanted to quit. I didn't want to compete for Miss Connecticut anymore, because I figured if I was meant to be Miss Connecticut, then I would have been by now. But I think, you know, going in and teaching kids about perseverance and kind of showing them that they can achieve anything that they set their minds to, that's been my favorite part. And then the messages I get, the Instagram messages from, you know, girls that said, oh, I wasn't going to try out for my cheerleading team, but because you kept doing Miss Connecticut, I think I'm going to try out. And it's just little things like that that really make my job worth it. And, you know, when I got home from Miss Massachusetts at 12:30 last night, and I had to still take a shower and get into bed and things, I'm exhausted. But at the end of the day, these are the impacts that I'm making, and it makes it so worth it.
It's awesome.
So you were at Miss Massachusetts last night?
Well, yeah, I was at Miss Boston. Yeah, in Massachusetts.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. And so yeah, what did you do there? Just hang out and be a part of it? Like just
yeah. So we were invited to attend. So that was really cool. So we got to go and watch a local in another state. So yeah, we decided to take a little road trip and go support, which was awesome. And then I got to see 4 of my Miss America sisters that were there. So I saw Miss Vermont, Miss Massachusetts, Miss Rhode Island. You know, all the close people. Yeah. So that was really nice to see them. And you know, we're starting to plan a road trip, and we're going to go hang out with all of our friends and hit up all the 51 states, you know?
Wow. That'll be fun.
I mean, it's a big, you know, adventure we're planning. I don't know. But
you should podcast the whole thing.
You should.
Should we vlog
every,
it?
Every day you should have like, here we are in this state with the Miss America ladies.
See, and that's so nice, is I have friends from every single state now.
It's not so a bad
I'll be taking
idea,
lots
actually.
Of vacations.
It's not a bad idea, exactly. actually, to do that.
Right?
It's really not a bad idea.
I would tune in. Are you kidding? That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So it leads to my next question for you. There's no, like, heat between you guys. Like, you're cool with all the people who competed. You're not like, oh, Miss North Dakota is awful.
No, it's such a friendship. And I think, I mean, we all, as I said, I love being Miss Connecticut. So I think we all have our jobs at the state level that we love so much. And we know that when you go to Miss America, there can only be one winner. So you go in and you try your best. But I mean, when you're with the same girls, you know, you're in a competitive environment for 8 days and you need someone to lean on. You need someone to break down with. And those are when those girls really come in handy. And that's when those relationships are built, because at 2 a.m., when your hair in pin curls and you haven't eaten in 10 hours, those are when those friendships are built.
Wow.
That's awesome. So talk. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, there. No, it's fine. I was just going to say, I just love the camaraderie that's built there through the competition. You know, I assumed that you guys would kind of be a little bit more on edge with each other and like, oh, you know, don't touch me or don't talk to me, because like you're in competition. But the fact that you guys are so supportive, like you said, you're helping each other do each other's hair and leaning on each other and breaking down together. That's awesome. I didn't realize it was that kind of a competition. I didn't realize you guys were that close through it, which is beautiful.
I mean, it really reminds me of like a sibling, like the way that me and my sister used to be if, you know, our parents were, you know, mad and we were grounded or something like that. You know, having that, you know, sibling, that friend, that's what the relationship is really like.
It's awesome.
Very cool.
It's really cool.
The sisterhood.
Right. And the job is so different. Like I don't have, this isn't a 9 to 5 job. My job is different every single day. And my weekends are usually Mondays and Tuesdays or Tuesdays and Wednesdays. My actual weekends are filled. So these girls really understand what it's like for everything, to balance school, to balance relationships, to balance, you know, your family stuff and just dealing with everything and being able to prioritize and make the best out of your year. And these girls understand it the best too. So that's what makes the relationship so strong too.
Yes, it's camaraderie is a big deal, especially in the kitchen. We have massive camaraderie. You know, it's just how it seems to help you get through those tougher times, those harder times when it comes to whether it's competing or working in a kitchen or whatever. Once you get that camaraderie going, it makes the days a lot easier.
Right. And I was saying about the kitchen during Elite Chef, like someone was looking back and said, oh my gosh, that looks so crazy. And I said, yeah, but it's probably very organized chaos, because, you know, that's what the dressing room looks like too in the back at Miss America. But everybody knows their place and what they're doing, but it sure looks crazy.
Organized chaos is definitely the term, right? I would use too, no doubt about it. So when you compete or when you were competing, before I ask you that, is there any more competitions that you can compete in now, or have you hit the pinnacle, like you've hit the top?
So I'm done within the Miss America organization. Yeah. So you can only compete. You can only be the state title holder one time and go to Miss America one time. So yeah, I'm done.
What about Miss Universe? Do they still have that?
So that's on the USA side. So there are two different organizations. There's the Miss USA organization and Miss America. And so I could go over to the Miss USA organization. They don't have talent, which is something that I love so much. I love singing.
Yeah.
So that's, and then they have swimsuit. So that's the differentiating factors between the two. I could go there, but I don't know.
Well, how do you feel about the swimsuit thing?
And then also, I can leave off on a high.
How do you feel about the swimsuit thing? Is that just, I mean, it does seem a little archaic, to be honest with you. Like in this day and age, I mean, really?
Yeah, I have the worst. Like, I have the worst opinion on this, because I'm one of those like, I don't know. Because no, I've never. I mean, like I said, I've competed 5 years for Miss Connecticut and then 2 years in the teen program, and I have never, ever, ever seen Miss America in a swimsuit and heels with her crown and sash on. I've never seen that.
Right.
So I don't think that needs to be scored, personally, but I do know that you need to have a certain, you know, you need to be physically fit. You need to be mentally and emotionally fit to have this job. It's a big job. And I think to go out, you know, in front of an audience in a swimsuit and heels takes a confidence like no other. And so I think, you know, the confidence factor and just, you know, holding your head up, that was beneficial from the swimsuit portion. But I don't think women need to be scored on how they look in a swimsuit. And I don't think that translates translates in any way to how they can do the job of Miss America.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It feels like literally, what are we going to do? Put him in, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you in a skimpy bathing suit in front of people and make you talk. Like,
right. It doesn't make sense.
It seems stupid.
As a father, I find it a little demeaning. I mean, to think that, like you said, that to have to be a certain level of confidence. But I mean, I just think in what situation do you need to be naked and have a certain level of confidence
in a room full of people that
applies ever in your life or anyone else's life? Like, how is that encouraging? You know what I mean?
Especially as Miss America with your crown and sash on. And I understand it's a historical part of the pageant that Miss America started as just a swimsuit competition, and it was on the boardwalk, and it was in an attempt to expand the vacation time in Atlantic City. So that's how Miss America started. But we have grown to be the nation's number one scholarship provider for women. And we've changed so much to get to that point that we need to change our competition as well. And so it's time to take swimsuit out, I think.
I mean, you're a hell of an ambassador for a change. Seriously, you're a hell of an ambassador. Thank you. No doubt about it.
Thank you. I mean, I've competed. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're way more interesting to me.
Oh, thank you. I've competed in both systems. So I've competed with the swimsuit and I've competed without swimsuit. And I haven't found anything different. It doesn't feel any different to me. I don't miss having swimsuit. I don't want swimsuit, you know? It was an unnecessary additive, I think. I can definitely do without it. I would much rather watch our representatives talk about their social impact initiatives with their TED Talks or answer questions on stage than walk in a swimsuit, because that's your job as Miss America and as a state title holder. Is you're going out and you're answering questions from, oh, what's your favorite color, to if you could meet with the governor today, you know, what would you speak with him about? And so you need to be comfortable answering all types of questions, but you're not doing any of that in a swimsuit.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of a political spot too that you're in. That's interesting. I never thought about it like that. Like, you do have that clout to where if you want to talk to the governor, you probably could.
Right. And so with my social impact, especially, I'm able to work to sign bills into place that will, you know, help our healthcare system and our kids in the future with research and just even the after effects of chemotherapy treatments, because there isn't any research for pediatric cancer. We're giving these kids drugs that we give adults, and we don't know how it's going to affect them. But the doctor straight up told my parents when I was 13 that by 50 years old, I'm going to have a heart problem, either kidney failure or something wrong with my liver because of the chemotherapy treatments. And so we need to be able to have this healthcare in place, because we're giving kids these chemos so that they can survive. But then when they're older, they're going to need help too. So we need to make sure that those things are in place. So yeah, my social impact works closely with that as well. So that's cool. That's a whole other side of my job that I get to do as well.
You know, I have a lot of friends who, this is going to sound weird, meteorologist friends, and meteorologist people are actually really smart. They're super smart. They know all kinds of random shit, but I don't know, Jill, you might have them. Just listening to you talk, you might have them. You might be smarter than my meteorologist friends. You might be my smartest friend now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you might be.
Oh, really? I do have like really cool like tidbits of information, but that all goes into the interview of, you know, for the job. When we go into the interview, we have no idea what they're going to ask us. I was asked one time to sing a rap. Because, right, yes. Because
well, I gotta scratch that question off the list. I was gonna have that on there.
I know.
Oh, darn. Well,
could you, do you remember your rap? I mean, I could beatbox if you want.
Well, so this was a story that, you know, I was talking about the amazing volunteers at Connecticut Children's, and I was talking about this man that would come in and he would let us, like, make our own music and sing our own songs. And so I made a rap. And when we're in the hospital, we need to wait until our neutrophil count is at a certain number before we can leave the hospital, because that's your body's way, your body's ability to fight infection. So normal people's are skyrocketing, like theirs are in the like tens of thousands, and ours are usually at like zero. So we have to wait till we get to like 500 before they let us out of the hospital usually. So we're just, we have to like pray to the, we call them the ANC gods, because there's nothing you can do but just hope that your ANC goes up. You can't eat anything. There's nothing you can do. So I made a rap that was kind of like praising the ANC gods, and I would sing it anytime I needed to get out of the hospital.
So you sang this
and
rap
that,
a lot.
That was my rap. Yes, I did.
So by singing
a
lot.
There was a couple times I had to stay in for, you know, 12, 13 days. And
wow.
It gets boring.
So but by singing
this
rap so much, you definitely have it memorized.
Oh, of course I do. You want to hear it?
I would. I mean, you would have no idea how happy I'd be if you would rap right now.
All right, ready?
Do you need music or no?
No. No music. We could do this a cappella.
Oh,
I'm a
okay.
professional.
A cappella. Let's do it. Here we go.
Okay. Yo, ANC, we're here to say we wish you didn't go away. Because of you, I have to stay and hope it's just for one more day. We understand the reason why, but I'm still hoping to say goodbye. The care is great and the smiles are too, but I'd rather be at home. Now, wouldn't you? I'm young and strong and full of fight. And actually, I'm kind of bright. So listen up, you ANC. You ain't gonna get the best of me. You may have slowed me down a bit, but you don't know me. I don't quit.
Damn.
Get it, girl.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
That's what's up, Jill.
Wow. Jeff,
so
do
I
you rap too, Jeff, or
I
no?
I recorded that. Oh, Jeff, can you?
Yeah, he's got a great one.
What?
Jeff, let's hear it.
Yeah, let's hear your rap, Jeffy.
No,
no, it's good. You should hear Jeff's rap.
No.
There's no rap.
I just want to put
There's
him on the
no
spot.
There's no rebuttal to that. What am I going to say to
you
that?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
That's what you get. Jill, that was amazing. And I like how the inflection of your voice turned a little bit. Like you might be a problem if someone got in your way.
Oh, absolutely. I'm young and strong and full of fight. Come on.
Damn right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was amazing. So yes. You actually recorded this song too?
Yeah, so we recorded it on a CD, and the hospital has it, so they play it. You know, like I said, it's a praise to the ANC God. So I don't know if they still play it. I know when I was in treatment that they used to play it for the patients to get their hopes up, too, and kind of get them in the right state of mind to get them out of the hospital. So
they got my hopes up.
One of the things I think I love about you the most, like, you just don't care. Like, if it puts a smile on somebody's face, you'll do it. And I think that's where you and I, it's our connection. Because I'll make an ass out of myself in a heartbeat. I don't care. As long as everyone's laughing, that's cool with me. And
100%.
And you'll do the same thing. I think it's when you go through traumatic things like you've been through, you know, you kind of lose that whole, I don't know, like, what's the word? You're not really worried about it. You know, it doesn't matter. I don't, you know.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's almost like your pride goes to a different level to where you're not really going to lose any of that. It doesn't matter anymore. That was amazing.
Her perspective.
I'm going to make that your ringtone, by the way.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
And Jeff's ringtone. It's going to be both of you.
Absolutely.
Watch me get like a record label after this.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
About to beat Cardi B out on the charts and everything.
That's
Watch out, Cardi B.
Hey, if Lizzo can do it, you definitely can do it.
Jilly D.
Yeah, that's the name. Do you have a rap name or no?
It was just when I, like, at the beginning of the song, I was like, yo, this is JD. So that it was just that.
JD.
I mean, I think I would need something better.
Yeah, maybe a little bit better. We're going to think about that. I think it needs to be an animal there. Like.
You could be Miss CT.
No.
What?
I don't think that
Why
works.
Why not? She is Miss Connecticut.
I know she is, but that's not a rap name.
All right, whatever. She sounds like she had Connecticut on her back already. I'm just saying.
You could be like, JD, the Crown Queen.
The Crown Queen.
Crown Queen.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
Yo, this the Crown Queen.
See? See?
Okay, terrific.
That's fantastic. All right, listen. I'm taking up so much time of yours, and I know you're busy, and I just want to ask you like one more question, then we'll get you out of here. And you're so fun to talk to. I really appreciate it.
All the time for you guys.
Listen, thank you. So when you would go to these competitions, would you do any kind of training regimen? Would you start limiting your diet? Would you start kind of watching what you would eat or change how that would happen?
Back when there was swimsuit, I did. Because I mean, you're going out in swimsuit,
sure.
But for as far as eating, are you talking or just like overall preparing?
just overall, like, you know, obviously, you know, when anybody goes to any kind of competition, even myself, I'm going to change how I eat. I'm going to work out a little bit. But I think the diet, you know, you can't out-train a bad diet. I don't care how hard you train. So, you know, as much as we've talked about how much you love food, love to eat things, and, you know, watching you inhale a steak like a champion, I'm assuming that when you're competing, you can't do all that. Like, you kind of have to be a little more careful.
Right. I do. And then it does help out, too, because I'm a vocalist. So there are things that I'm not supposed to eat. I can't have anything. I can't have dairy. I can't have anything spicy. So that helps me out. But, you know, a girl's got to drink her iced coffee. So I need to. I got to have some dairy in my diet. No matter how close we are to a packet, I will always have an iced coffee in hand.
Don't milk an almond or a soybean ever?
I mean, it's not milk. I'm okay with almond milk. I just, like, sometimes it gives the coffee a different flavor, a different taste. So.
Well, it's so funny because I was a music theater major in college my first time around, Jill. And all the things you're talking about, like dairy with your voice and all that, I mean, that was not – I mean, it was mentioned, but it wasn't, like, a big deal. I'm guessing now it's more – there's more research behind it. There's more knowledge behind it. So they probably teach it more when you're in school.
Oh my gosh, if you like even knew the tips and the tricks that I've received over the years, it's the silliest things, but it makes so much sense. Like, it ends up working out. But just even, you know, I usually bring a whole bottle of lemon juice, like pure lemon juice, and I'll just drink that backstage because that just strips the mucus from your vocal cords. Coconut water is the most hydrating drink, so I just drink coconut water for like a week before. So, yeah, there's certain things that you never think about, but it's actually pretty crazy.
So the next time we hang out.
But I guess your voice is a muscle, so it makes sense.
The next time we hang out, I'm going to bring a guitar and we're going to play. Is that cool?
Yes.
All right. That's what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
And, Jeff, you could bring your
tambourine.
Mm-hmm, perfect.
Triangle. Don't give him a tambourine.
Even Jillian wants you to have a triangle, Jeffy.
Fine. I wail in the triangle, you know, but I slam the tam, dog. You know what I mean? I get that tam rocking, and people, you know, I've been known. I'll dual tam. You know, I get two tams in one hand.
I don't want you to show us up.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's just, you know, I get out there. I'm a good fun act.
He gets
I'm
into it, dog. Damn. Jillian Duffy is our guest, Miss Connecticut. She's amazing. I tell you what, you definitely changed my entire view on all of that. The competitions, Miss USA, Miss Connecticut, Miss America. You definitely changed my viewpoint on that after meeting you and talking to you. You're super inspirational. I think your family is really cool. Literally, I just want you to come judge all of our competitions because you're so fun to hang out with.
Please invite me. For good food? Absolutely.
I second all those emotions.
Absolutely. Jeff, tell people where they can get some more information and where to find her on social.
If you need to see more Miss Jill, you need to go to Miss America CT, at Miss America CT on her Instagram and follow her. See all the awesome inspirational stuff she's up to, all the cool things she's doing around the state of Connecticut, and also on her Facebook, Jillian Duffy. Follow her there. Again, she's out there doing awesome stuff. She's an amazing role model. Get your girls to follow her. I know I'm going to get mine too. She's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt
about it.
And you got to support these things. I think supporting things like Miss Connecticut is important to do. So I think we should definitely support it, especially with all the scholarships that are given out. You guys are doing good things out there, and I'd love to hear about it. So thank you so much for your time tonight, Jill. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
You're so you're awesome to talk to, and we'll talk to you on down the road, all right?
All right. Talk to you guys soon. Thanks, Jill.
Meanwhile, back on the show.
Jeffy, Miss Connecticut is the man. Is that okay to say?
She's really cool.
She's the Miss Connecticut. I mean, you know what I think is so cool about the... Dude, here's what's so cool. Miss Connecticut was like hanging out on the show talking to us. She cut a rap for us. But she was hanging out on the show talking to us. And we're just a bunch of goofball chefs.
Absolutely, man. I'm always flattered at the people who say yes to me when I email them.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, she was all in, too. She was like, oh, come on anytime.
She was great. She was great. She's an amazing guest. She's so fun. She's so fun to talk to. She's so easy to talk to. Her story is amazing and inspiring. I mean, she's fucking so cool.
Every time she tells me the story about having to get that chemotherapy directly into her spine through a spinal up into her brain, are you kidding me? Breaks
and
my
you know
heart.
What she did? She wrote a rap song that inspired other people while she was going through that and then recorded it and played it for people.
Unbelievable, I mean, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's like every time this woman was given lemons, she made lemonade literally and helped nourish and encourage and exhort other people along the way, which, I mean, what if, I mean, I, like I said, if I allowed my girls to be on social media, they'd be following her right now.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to have to make that happen for my girls. Your girls are on social media? I didn't know that.
Well, they're on like they play TikTok and stuff, but they don't have like a Facebook or anything.
Damn. All right. Wow. Well, I got a couple things I want to talk about before we get off the air tonight here. And again, thank you guys all for checking out Elite Chef. We're well over 100,000 views on Elite Chef. We're very, very proud of that. And you know what else I should say? We should say it more often than I do. Please rate, review, and subscribe on this program. I tell you what, the ratings are great. The reviews are great. Anything you can do would be fantastic. But we do appreciate you guys, you know, checking out the program and hanging out with us here on a Thursday night. That's for sure. That came out of nowhere. Who saw this coming? Straight from Philadelphia, balling and raised on the playground is where he spent most of his days, Jeff.
Oh, man. Pulling off, relaxing out, cooling out.
Shooting some b-ball outside the school when a couple of guys were up to no good.
Started making
Dave started acting up in the neighborhood.
God, Jeff, if you don't know the word, you should tell me ahead of time.
And then he went back to Detroit because he was scared, and he ate a square pizza
that
in
was cooked
a town called Detroit.
It was cooked in a 900
degree oven.
I
never scared Jeff. You better recognize.
What up, Dave?
Not much. I actually am in South Philly right now. Last night at a pop-up, so...
You were in the armpit of America. How is it?
Not bad.
No, it's not good.
It's kind of it's like a cross between like New York City and Detroit. If like they fucked and had a kid, that would be Philadelphia.
Wow, yeah. That's I find Philadelphia to be a very blue collar, hardworking city. I like Philadelphia a lot.
Let me ask you this: Have you seen anybody walking around that looks like Bruce Springsteen? Wearing a very heavy winter coat, a wool hat, and breath coming out, talking about Philadelphia.
Glory days. When a young girl cried, glory days.
Didn't he sing Philadelphia? Streets of Philadelphia. Didn't he sing that song?
I don't know what song you're talking about.
It was about Philadelphia, the movie. Let me ask you this: have you seen a very thin Tom Hanks walking around?
Nope. Not going there on that one.
All right. I just thought that's
not
what
even happened. Going there.
Not even going there.
Well, there was all right. Well, whatever, Dave. So you're in Philly, man. You're doing fucking some amazing work out there here on your off season, Brad. Tell everybody what you're doing over there.
Well, we did a couple pop ups. Been out here 3 times in the last month. The first one, we were raising money for earthquake relief in Puerto Rico. I'm helping Chef Maria Mercedes Grubb with all this, so we're doing a lot of really cool Caribbean food. I'm actually learning some pretty cool cuisine that I haven't really worked with a whole lot. Got introduced to a lot of ingredients. So we're out here just trying to, you know, raise money and help people out.
All right, Dave, we got to have you and I have to talk about how do you deal with media when they're asking you about what you're doing. You gave zero information there. I have no idea what the fuck you're doing still.
Oh, like technically I'm drinking a beer outside.
No, right, cocksucker. Now. You're supposed to be like, well, I'm out here doing a pop-ups. We're doing a series of pop-ups to raise money for certain charities to help out with, you know, disaster relief. And, you know, I'm working with these chefs, and here's the type of food we're making, and we're going to run from this date to this date, you know.
I think I answered all that. I was like, this is our last day of the pop-up. Well, we've raised money for Puerto Rico for earthquake.
Let me go to the – let's go. We have – you're lucky we have an official jury here on Plum Love Foods. Jeff, did he say all the right information?
Had all the right information.
That was a question. Are you still with us? What happened?
I'm right here.
I was reprimanding Dave. Did you hear any of that?
I just heard him question. I heard him say he said all the right information.
No, I was reprimanding Dave. Did you hear any of that, Jeff?
I did not hear that.
Well, how did you not hear it? Where'd you go? You've been sitting right here.
Because Jeff don't hear bullshit.
That's not true. I hear lots of bullshit. I just wasn't. I don't know what happened.
What do you mean you don't know what happened?
Well, I was staring at the light, and I don't know.
Staring at the light? No, don't go towards the light. Go away from
I me. Lost a second there. I don't know.
Jesus, late, I needed man. You there. I needed my co-host to back me up there, and you weren't there for me.
Listen, of course I back you up. There's no man I'd want to be in the ring with besides Chef Plum. Dave, you better watch your back.
What the fuck? I thought you had my six.
I got your back. I got your six, bro, but only as long as you're in the inner circle. Don't push yourself out.
So Dave's been in Philadelphia doing a series of pop-up dinners, helping out, doing some raising money for charities, out there kind of getting his skills moving, working with some great chefs. Who are some of the chefs you're working with out there, Dave?
Christina Martinez, she actually opened her doors up to us the first pop-up, and then now we're actually doing her soft open for her new location, or her new restaurant in general. It's a new concept. And then Chef Maria Mercedes Grubb, she's the one who kind of put all this together and invited me out to help her out with that. And her foundation is Surf PR, which is actually aimed towards the industry a little bit. You know, when these disasters hit and people have to close their doors, she goes in and does these pop-ups and makes sure their staff can stay paid or they can keep the doors open, or, you know, it's just things to help us out, you know.
That's
help
great.
Us in the industry out when, you know, we think we're just kind of fucked after certain issues, you know.
I mean, have you connected That's her great. With our good sister Michelle, who's trying to get that Chefs for Disaster Relief going?
I am definitely working on that, for sure.
What do you got to do? You send an email. How hard is it, Dave?
I mean, she just thought of it when you said it.
Yeah, that's
no,
exactly.
That is
that,
not
that's
true.
Dave.
You call Michelle right now.
Dave Lingo.
We've been in contact and we've been working things out.
There's things working out, but you just thought of it just now. Don't lie.
You were like,
I thought of this shit weeks ago, bro.
Weeks ago? It just started last week.
What just started last week?
I don't know. I'm just talking shit.
God damn it, Jeff.
I talk to Michelle like at least every other day. She's never brought it up, Dave.
Yeah, she never brings it up to me either, and I talk to her, too.
Yep.
I talk to her, too, and guess what? She doesn't say shit about you guys either, so maybe.
That's not true.
It is true. She doesn't ask me shit about either one of you.
Well,
I'll be honest. I'm pretty sure you never talked to her then.
I talked to her this morning.
Well, it'd be very unlike Dave to ask about other people, though, too, Jeffy.
That's true. I'm super self-involved. You guys know this.
Yo.
Okay, terrific.
I'm super self-involved. You know this.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm just being real, guys.
Hey, look, we got a shout-out to our friend Chef Michelle, by the way. She was just on Beat Bobby Flay, not as a judge, but as a competitor. And she whipped Bobby Flay's ass, stomped a mud hole in him.
She bitch-slapped that Keebler elf.
Dude, my favorite part was when she raises her pants leg and says, I have a pasticcio recipe on my fucking thigh.
That's what's up.
Does she really?
Yeah, she goes, that shit's written in Greek. And she pulled a leg up, and there it was.
Was it like a cheat sheet? Like, did she use a Sharpie or is it tattooed?
Trust me, she didn't need a cheat sheet. She got it, but it was right there. And he was like, what the fuck? It was awesome.
That's what's up.
But my question for you, gentlemen, is this. On a show like that, that's doing so well, and there's hundreds of them now, why is Lou Diamond Phillips a fucking judge on it?
Because Lou Diamond Phillips is the fucking man. La Bamba, don't you dare talk shit about Lou Diamond Phillips, all right?
All right, settle down. I wasn't talking shit.
I'm so happy you said that.
I just want to know what his culinary prowess is. Like, how does he think that? Why do we think that Lou Diamond Phillips is a person?
Me?
You don't even let me finish the question, Dave. I had no idea you were so Lou Diamond Phillips obsessed.
Love Lou Diamond.
LDP, that's my homie.
That's right.
Why do they get people like this on the show? Like, let's get some chefs on there. Let's get real people on that program.
Are you saying Lou Diamond Phillips is not a real person?
No, he's a person. He's not a chef, though. What is Lou Diamond Phillips possibly going to tell Chef Michelle Ragusa about food?
If he likes it or not.
Remember this about Lou Diamond Phillips, bro.
What
I'm
don't
just
you
gonna,
remember?
I want to point something out to you. Lou Diamond Phillips is a G, and he competed on Celebrity Cook-Off.
Yeah, he won, too, but against who?
There you go, man.
There you go. Answer.
There
against
you
who?
Go,
Vanilla Ice and the midget from fucking Kid Rock?
Okay, hold on. That's Josie, and he's dead,
God
so have a little respect,
soul.
You dick. And,
it's, don't, yeah. don't start throwing your Detroit lore at me.
It's not lore. That motherfucker's dead. Josie died years ago. And, yeah. You know, call them a little person. When they're dead, call them little people. When they're alive, you can call them a midget.
I didn't know that was the rule, Dave.
I don't know. I just made that one up.
I like that one. That's a good rule. Well, Dave, I think what you're doing out there is awesome with your with the pop-up series. You're doing a good thing out there. I love to see you're taking the initiative and doing something. Hopefully your restaurant hasn't burned down. That's good news.
I think it's still there.
So, but
no,
this
we're
is the
all
thing.
Good. Everything's going well.
I got to give your owners a little credit there that they don't care that you would go out and do this.
I have to have everything done before I leave.
Damn.
That's kind of everything that needs to be done for the week has to be done before I leave. I also have an awesome kitchen manager in the city right now, Mario. He's the fucking man.
That's awesome.
He handles the day-to-day. So,
What's the word on guest chef series happening in Montauk this summer?
I'm doing one day a week. I'm going to pull out of the guest chef one day a week so I can get a fucking day off.
I got
so.
You.
Definitely.
All right.
And then, can I ask you guys a mildly racist question?
Nope.
Is this changing subjects? I was trying to keep it food related.
Maybe a little bit.
Yes, you can eat the brown M&Ms. Nobody gets upset.
No. What nationality do you think Lou Diamond Phillips is?
Oh, my God. We're still on Lou Diamond Phillips.
Oh, shit. You know what? That's tricky because I don't actually know.
Argentinian.
I'm going to say Venezuelan.
Oh, man. I thought he was Mexican, which is probably the most racist. He's from the Philippines.
What the fuck?
Really?
Yep. Born in the Philippines, raised in Texas.
Okay. All right.
He's like an Asian cowboy.
I love that.
You do?
Dude, he's the man. He was in my favorite movie ever.
Young Guns.
You knew it. You knew it. Dude.
Young Guns is
you
a good movie.
You knew it. We never even talked about that. I just want you to know that. He just went patty on us. He just pulled that right out of my soul.
Oh, shit. He's like, I see cowboys and Emilio, Young Guns.
Ooh. He was, hang on, was he Doc? Was that right? No, that was not him.
Nope. No. It was Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the one with the tomahawks, man.
Yeah, he played the Indian guy, right?
Native American.
But then they call him Indian in the movie.
Yeah, that's true, they do. I think indigenous people
call him Indian or Red Man or something real racist.
Like Method Man or Red Man? Or?
This fucking Blackout's a great album, iconic.
Fuck yeah. Wow. You remember Red Man chewing tobacco?
Yeah.
Dave, what on earth? Dave came into the show on fire. He came in here human torching this shit. Flame on.
Hell yeah. Fantastic Four, fucking human torch all over this bitch.
Dave came over here talking about, I'm the cashier. Don't ask me for anything. I'm making change.
That's what's up. I like that.
Jeff, are you too high to not realize what I just said? Because that was a fucking good line, Jeff, and you gave me nothing.
I just laughed. I was choking because you made me. I was trying to inhale.
I heard it, Jeff. I got you. He was like, that's what it died. Was.
He's the cashier.
I got you. Making change.
Just busy making change. This is why I want to compete in a food competition again, gentlemen. I want to go in there, and I want to be able to talk shit.
How about you go cook, and then me and Jeff will just talk shit to your competitor the whole time?
No.
I'm one of the best shit talkers on the planet.
Chef, Paul? Can we get on Iron Chef? Can we fight someone on
Iron
Chef?
It's not there anymore. The show's not on anymore.
I'm not fighting anybody on TV. That's evidence.
You're not going to fight anyone. We'll get your good side.
Okay.
Look, I want to do it. I want to get on there and grab the microphone. I'm Smack Talker Skywalker, and I got a mic saber for a hater.
I like that. A mic saber.
Damn right.
Is it a mic saber or a mic sabre?
What? No. You're busy doing the other stuff that you haven't spoken. You forgot to speak English. Mic saber, like a lightsaber.
Okay.
You ever hear somebody talking about a light sabre? That's a fucking hummus is what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, that fucking... They make chocolate hummus?
That's gross. I saw it. I almost bought it.
It's
like,
delicious.
What?
You get strawberries and pretzels and you dip it in that shit. It's the best shit ever.
Shut up. Is it made with chickpeas?
These are gross. We've already talked about this once.
Have you fucking tried it yet? Have you guys tried it yet?
No.
No, I already told you I wouldn't try it because I'm not disgusting. I'm American.
You're an asshole for not trying it. It's delicious. You need to try it. I'm going to shove it down your mouth this summer.
What? Toby Keith would never eat hummus made out of chocolate.
Fuck Toby Keith.
Listen, all things American, I think Toby Keith. I couldn't agree more.
Dude. Proud to be an American.
That is not Toby Keith. That's not Toby Keith.
Who is it?
Who is that?
Del Wilkinson, Keith. Actually.
So yeah, see, some guy that's not Toby Keith.
Del Wilkinson? Keith. Yeah, Del Wilkinson.
What did you say his name was?
Del Wilkinson.
Oh.
That sounds right. That sounds right. When I was on the Air Force Base, they played that song non-fucking-stop.
But it's been covered 1,000 times. I think Jeff.
Why are you on
an
Air Force Base?
Don't tell.
Stuff and things, man.
Stuff and things.
No, wouldn't recommend it.
Like, guys?
Yeah. No, I wasn't on a naval base, okay? I was on an Air Force Base.
Whoa.
Easy, easy. We got friends in the Navy.
I do, and I love them very much.
All right.
Just because there's tubes full of semen all over the naval yard.
Oh, see, okay. Jeff picked it up.
Jesus. They cover their semen tubes with tarps.
Funny thing is when they're like, oh, you know, they pump this gas in a sub. Everyone just smells funny when they come out of there. I was like, yeah, they do. Bunch of dudes. It's like a giant locker room. You probably all smell like assholes and armpit.
Smells like my goalie equipment after 6 months, probably.
Exactly. I'm like, it's a giant locker room under the ocean.
That just smells like Funyuns and Cheetos.
Yo.
Oh,
it smells like a hoagie. Someone should better shower.
Smells like a hoagie and Funyuns. Yo.
Come on, everybody has a friend whose armpit stink was so potent it smelled like Italian hero.
I have offended myself in these last couple of weeks. I'm like, who's cooking Indian food? And then I smell my armpit. I'm like, oh, that cumin smell is me.
Oh my god, Dave, that's not healthy.
Jesus,
you don't smell like cumin. You probably go see a doctor, right?
Yeah, man, it sounds like a lymph disorder or something. You
that's
like
the
cumin.
AIDS coming out of your skin.
Dude,
it's Lyme disease, and Jeff, it's kind of funny you should say that, Jeff. I actually have swollen lymph nodes right now, so maybe that's a correlation.
Dude, I'm telling you, stinky sweat has something to do with stinky lymph.
And it smells like maple syrup some mornings.
Yo.
Because you fucking smoke that stupid fucking death ray.
He does smoke some fucking
your
death
fucking
ray.
Waffle House. Walking around with your popcorn lung gadget. I don't know what the fuck you're thinking.
Have you ever watched Dave smoke that too? It's not just a little bit. He takes, I don't know how much that vapor fits in that fucking thing. He takes enough in there to where he can make enough water for a third world country on one pop.
Dude, dude will fill it up 2 or 3 times in the evening. We'll be hanging out. He'll be pulling over. He'll pull up. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? He's like, I'm just filling up a little bit, you know.
Most people fill up, what, once a week?
Syrup in my gadget here.
He's fucking uncapping Aunt Jemima and pouring that shit in directly.
Oh, dude, I wake up and bathe in that shit in the morning. I love Aunt Jemima.
So gross.
Wow.
Mrs. Butterworth is where it's at if you're going to go fake syrup.
All right, listen.
Mrs. Butterworth is a prude-ass bitch. All right, what's up?
That's hurtful. I want to talk about something really quick before we get on out of here for the night, and it's great to have Dave on to talk about this. In a world where culinary arts and chefs get put on pedestals these days more so than ever before with the advent of Chopped every night and different shows on Food Network, almost turning chefs into rock stars. We talked earlier about all the content that gets put out every single day. A large portion of that is culinary content. What's happened is we're seeing more and more awards coming out for chefs, for restaurants, for culinarians. And to me, I've never cared much for awards, Jeffy. I don't know about you. Dave, what do you think about awards?
Oh, man. You want my honest opinion on this?
I do. That's why I asked you.
I think we're glorified way too much. Like, a lot of us are fucking borderline drug addicts who fucking hate the world. And then they're like, oh, we love your food. It's like, we fucking don't care. But wait.
Hang on. Is that because, though, that's your generation / our generation of cooks? And we had good brother Brian Kayward on. He's a chef instructor at CIA. He's talking all about how the generation is changing and how the chefs of today are coming out. You know, they talk about their feelings. They worry about their bodies. They take care of themselves.
And they don't cry when they get fucking bullied. And,
they
yeah,
do, but they don't go drinking every night. And
hey. I love drinking. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm drinking. And I just got done with work.
You're not an animal.
I don't know, man. You know what? The new generation, Maybe they need awards. Maybe everybody needs a fucking trophy to feel special. I don't know. Work for it. Earn it. Get your fucking recognition. That's how I feel about it.
But does
it
matter?
I was talking about like this a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, I should probably try to go for one of them James Beards. Little did I fucking know how much work is behind it. I don't want to do that.
Well, I told you, just go work in your restaurant. Just go work in a restaurant.
Yeah, you told me. Work in the restaurant, the rest will follow. I don't really think awards are something that we should be getting.
Well, I wanted to have you on when I asked this because I know you get fired up about it. But now we see all these awards that don't really mean anything. And it doesn't mean anything at all. And, Jeffy, don't worry. I know you're gritting your teeth. I'm not going to say any names of companies.
Oh, dude, tell me. I'll say it.
But
listen, man, I think there's nothing wrong with awards.
I think you need to be doing something fucking groundbreaking to get one now. Everybody's doing the same shit, so you need to do something nobody's ever gotten to get an award.
All right, man, come on. So you're saying that guys who get a belt for, like, the Northeast Western, you know, title, they shouldn't get the belt?
You're not – that you can't – how dare you compare pro wrestling to this? Like, that's not even real life.
You taught me, Plum. You taught me.
Oh, actually,
everything comes back to pro wrestling.
You know what? Hold on. There is an award that has lately fucking come out. And like I said, I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but I think...
Wait, I said that. You didn't say that.
You didn't say that at all, actually.
You said you would say it. I mean, sometimes, Dave hears somebody else talk and he thinks that's what he said.
No, I'm repeating what you said, but once I realized one of the ones, I was like, what the fuck about?
What?
when you give one chef from every fucking state an award, does it really matter?
And it's not even an award for being a chef. It's an award for being on a fucking website.
It's an award for being fucking popular.
You're giving out an award.
Not even popular.
It's an award because your pictures of your food look great.
Not even.
I don't know what the fuck that, you know, we obviously know what we're all talking about right now.
Yeah, but here's my issue with it. When you do an award like that and then you put out a press release because you won an award from a fucking website, not for your food, not for your culinary prowess, not for anything you've done, not for any good you put out in the world, because you're on a fucking website, you put out a press release and then now you have local media talking about it as if it means anything because of the title of it. The title of it makes it sound important. That's my problem with it, Jeffy. I figured it out, by the way.
Okay, so let's not get too deep into it. Was title of it Chef of the Year?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know exactly what the fuck we're talking about. No, I wouldn't even take that award if they gave it to me. I'm like, are you fucking serious? No, you gave one to like 60 other fucking people this year.
Jeff, I know you're chomping at the bit to yell at me. Go ahead.
I'm not. Listen, I think that awards are great. I think encouraging people is awesome. I think giving people awards based upon merit is great. I don't know exactly what you're talking about. I think I might.
Oh, I'll blurt it out.
And what?
I'll blurt it out if you want.
Logo.
I mean, whatever. All I'm saying is that like we're currently doing branded content for an amazing restaurant group, and we're giving that an award. You know, based upon some crazy challenges and stuff, you know, and that person's going to win something, and it's going to be
that,
like,
but it's a competition, man. Like, they're competing. What we're talking about right now.
Well, I don't know. How do these people get these awards?
They put themselves in there and said, "Hey,
talk to somebody."
Dude, it's not even popularity.
Hold on, one at a time. I can't understand what you guys are saying. Everyone's yelling at me,
Dave. It's not even about popularity. It was because they said, "Who do we have in Missouri?"
So here's my issue with that. Missouri compared to New York City, yeah, you're gonna have one fucking guy in Missouri,
and the one guy they gave it to in Missouri works in a fucking retirement home. Get the fuck out of here.
I wasn't aware of that, but I'm pretty
dude,
sure I'm the same
maybe it's
now.
A banging retirement home, man. Why are you fucking hating, dog?
It's not.
And then another thing,
you've been there.
I know a fantastic chef in Missouri who, if you're giving out awards for the best chef in Missouri, that fucking he should have got it. He's a pastry chef.
So funny to me that we're talking about the best chef in Missouri.
Right. Okay.
I just picked a state out of random.
Best chef in New York was a catering company. How the fuck does anybody else know if he's the best chef if they didn't fucking hire him? Yeah, hey, so we're talking about the same shit.
Listen, can we just
say
something right now?
Best chef in Nashville wasn't Manit, wasn't...
Listen, if you ask my mother...
Like New York City, you know what names I'm fucking expecting to hear? Yeah. Fucking Keller or, you know, anybody who's actually like...
Jeff Perazzi.
Ooh. Yeah, Jeff, you're fucking private, Jeff. I don't know. I got to hire you to find out. You know what I mean?
I've cooked for you, David. You know I blew your mind.
Yeah, your food's delicious. You going to course me out for my birthday again this year?
I don't know. When's your birthday?
Sunday?
Probably not.
All right. Well, I'll be in. I mean, you'll be back, what, Tuesday, Wednesday next week?
Yeah. We can do something. I can make food for you.
Yeah, well, that's fun. Good times.
it just frustrates me. Listen, we don't have to keep talking about the same award. We all know what award we're talking about. But
yeah. I don't want to discredit anybody who's gotten it. I know.
I do.
You know, I know a lot of the people, and some of them actually deserve it. But then some people, I'm like, how? I don't know what your food is. I will never know what your food is unless I hire you.
All right. So let's just say that said award was given.
I'm so glad you guys brought this up because I've been biting my tongue for.
So say this. Mm-hmm. So this award was given basically. By someone's biased opinion due to whoever they were working with or whatever.
I think it was given off of how many times you could hashtag the fucking company.
All right, so this is my thing. Are you mad, Plum, because they gave out awards at all? Or are you mad because they didn't give out awards to the people that you think they should have given them to?
No, and we've talked about this before, and I put thought into it for our past conversation. What annoys me about it is when someone takes something like this and then puts out a press release. Hang on, Dave. Puts out a press release and then gets local media coverage about it and makes it sound like it's something more than it is. That's what bothers me.
We're going to talk about this one offline. What state?
Listen to me right now. I am not really an ambassador for the Food Saver. I've only done one commercial.
Oh, here we go.
You motherfucker.
I'm just saying.
You know how many Food Savers I have bought because I thought you were the ambassador?
I mean, I am kind of an ambassador because, I mean, like off the record, I'm an ambassador. I mean, I did get free Food Savers and free Food Saver bags. And
you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. Commercial.
Wait, you have
I parlayed that into such an amazing...
Hold up, Dave. Here. Dave, one at a time. You're stepping all over him here.
Sorry.
I've parlayed that into a pretty amazing career... and I like to talk about it often. Maybe this is a little like that. What do you go?
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, Jeff, you're actually a nicer guy than, you know, me. But, no, I mean, it's bullshit.
No, I think it's completely different, Jeff. I think it's completely different.
Yeah, I think the award, we're going to have to talk about the whole press release thing because I didn't hear anything about that because once I started scrolling, I was like, and I'm done with the internet for today. But
I have to be honest, hearing that whoever got a press release, I'm a little upset that I've never gotten a press release.
You have been in a press release.
I'm going to call one for you tomorrow. I'll be back.
You guys are my friends.
Oh, my God, Dave.
You love me.
You're on fire, Dave. I don't know what's going on with you, but you're stepping all over everybody.
I'm sorry. It's two Guinness, two fucking Jameson, and that's all it takes. You know me.
Zip. Did he do that?
Jeff, you have been in a press release several times.
I was not aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Elite Chef. the Navy thing. You were in press releases. You were actually written up in articles as well.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was a Navy
thing. I should know this stuff so I can send it to my mom, man.
You were. You were copied on the email.
Was I? Are you sure? Because I don't get copied on a lot of things.
Yeah. I know the Navy thing for sure.
Jeff, we need to start putting a scrapbook together for you so like you can remember like everything.
Yeah, man. Like, thanks, Dave. That's sweet. Would you do that? You get on one of your duties to scrapbook everything important in my life?
I will. I want to scrapbook. I'm gonna do a scrapbook for the whole collective. It's gonna be like Plum and Dan and Bob and Michelle and everybody.
You know, his name was in Detroit. They used to call him Scrapbook Dave.
It was a totally different meaning, though.
Well, either way. Here's my thing. You have other awards, right? You have the Chef's Choice Awards that gives out, you know, the world's 50 best restaurants. You have the Eat Out Awards by Time Out Magazine. You have, you know, a Lifetime Achievement Award by Restaurant Magazine. I mean, some of these,
Michelin,
I guess.
Stars,
Michelin
Times.
Guide. I mean, you know, but then there's other ones. Go ahead, Dave.
I don't mean to cut you guys off in this, but even Michelin Guide, you got that when you bought a fucking set of tires.
it's
true. It was check these places out. You just bought some tires. Drive the country. These are places to check out. That's where Michelin Guide came from. You bought fucking tires and got a guide to restaurants.
The Time Out Food and Drinks Awards. Let me just tell you what. I judged a wing competition for Time Out Magazine. Granted, I am qualified to judge said competition as a chef for 25 years and judging other wing competitions. However, other folks on the judging panel were not.
Okay. I mean, I feel if an award is earned, I'm not going to talk shit about it. But I feel like a lot are just giving out.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, everybody gets a trophy at the end of the game.
It's, hey, let me get this out so you'll talk about my company, my fledgling company.
I mean, I'm not going to go there. I mean, I did the company, you know, still some cool people there. The idea of the award, I don't think, was well thought out. There were. Yeah, there were. There's still one in there.
My problem is that you're giving awards with no merit bother me. I think that's my problem, Jeff.
That's true. I think so. Like, when I get an award, like, did they actually get something? Or is it like, no, here's your fucking face on Instagram?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, probably that's all it is. That's why I don't know why you guys give a shit.
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't, but it's still bullshit.
If I had won one of those awards.
What are you talking about?
That means I'm not losing any sleep over it, but when you guys bring it up, I will fucking yell.
Look, no, what I'm saying is this. I don't care to win one, but if I did, I definitely would not have been on TV everywhere, on local TV, and using that to, like, oh, look what I won, and then not explaining what it actually means.
Dude, we totally have to talk about this shit off air, so I need to know.
I need not to know.
It's
this sounds like,
what was that? It what is it?
It sounds like
it sounds
a bunch of bullshit.
I just
but you know what? I mean, it could actually turn into something. You know, I mean, this year it could be bullshit, next year it could be bullshit, third year it could actually get merit. I mean that's the thing, like,
where?
I don't fucking know, man. I'm just saying, things evolve quickly and change. Plum, you've known me for a little bit. Where was I 2 years ago? I was a piece of shit, and I'm slightly less of a piece of shit. But
I didn't call you a piece of
evolved
shit.
Evolved and changed. You know,
Dave,
what, I mean?
What it is a marketing plan to get free advertising from people who don't realize that that's what's happening.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
You know what? That could be true, because when that picture shared, the icon or logo or whatever you would like to call it is all over it.
It drives me nuts.
It's genius as a business person, but as somebody who's accepting that, I think so. I would slip some shit in the Kool-Aid, so to speak. Like, that's kind of what there is. This is a cultish ass act.
But wouldn't you be more excited to win the World Sushi Cup of Japan?
Oh, that'd be dope. Fuck yeah.
It's two events. There's a restaurant competition and an individual competition. So you have two chances to win.
And, like, honestly, like, there are awards that people still talk shit about, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have one of those, you know?
Well, look, that's all I got to say about it. We're going to move on, but...
We should do that, because I'm just about to, yeah.
I think that if you're going to win an award, win it under merit. That's all I got. That's all I got, Dave.
Oh, God, I got, like, fucking so long before I can win one, then, if we're going on merit.
Dude, I have merit badges.
But we're not talking Boy Scouts,
fire,
man.
I can tie knots. I'm a nice guy.
One of the nicest people I know.
I won sweetest boy in fifth grade.
Dude, you're the sweetest boy right now.
I didn't win shit in fifth grade.
Jeff, did you win any superlatives ever?
Did I win anything in fifth grade?
Well, or
not
any
really.
Grade.
I think I was, like, most dramatic or something like that, maybe, or like most artistic. I don't remember.
Yeah,
that's what's up. That's what's up.
I think one time Rob and I were talking, and the funniest thing he ever said to me was, I made some joke about, yeah, I was voted boy with the cutest sickness or something like that, like the sickness of being cute. And Rob goes, I see you've been cured.
That's funny. I got student of the month once. I don't know if that counts as anything.
No, that doesn't count.
That means I
what
had
did
the
you do?
The whole fucking
did you have to
school.
Get touched by the teacher to get that, or how's that work?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you guys checking out Plum Loaf Foods Live. Make sure you check out this week's Elite Chef. It's Kitchen Redemption. We're bringing back everyone who's eliminated to see what they got, to see who can join our finalists, because we got two finalists. We need three. So we're bringing one eliminated chef back to the competition. You got to check it out. Elite Chef airs this Friday, 9 a.m. on Facebook. Check it out there. You can't wait to see it. I'm telling you, it's so fun to watch. It's a great episode. Plus, the finale is going to be out in 2 weeks. We can't wait for you guys all to see that. It's going to be one to watch, that's for sure. One to not miss. Dave, hopefully we'll see you at the finale. I hope so.
I'm trying to sort that out now. I'm leaving Philly early.
You don't need to give us your whole schedule now. You can just say, hope so.
Yeah, hope so, man.
Perfect.
I really hope so. It'd be great to see you guys.
Well, it'd be mediocre.
I would love to see
you. It'd be mediocre. Yeah.
It'd be mediocre. Well, maybe I'll show up. Maybe I won't then if it's just going to be a mediocre time. You gotta come at me. You got to fucking sell me on this bump.
I'm pretty sure you just called me baby, and that was weird.
I didn't call you baby. I said maybe.
Yeah. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you guys live next Thursday. Please remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week right here on Plum Loaf Foods Live.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey, sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Loaf Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.